Welcome to the Decent Rowing Podcast. My name's Lachlan Davey. I'm here with my dad, Ken Davey, and together we have decentrowing.com. We make a heap of short instructional videos about rowing so everyone can row better. So today we're going to be talking about the sequence in the rowing stroke and a couple of different aspects of sequence, as well as, you know, what body movements and arm movements and leg movements you should do at different parts of the stroke, and also how you go about it when teaching beginners as well as more advanced techniques, because they're not the same thing in a lot of cases. So Ken, maybe do you want to run through a basic sequence of the rowing stroke and, yeah, go from there?
Yep, sure. The critical thing with educating beginners in particular on how to row is that getting it in the right sequence is really important. So depending on where you start in the rowing stroke, I tend to be a bit of a catch-focused person, but I'm going to start at the finish for this particular set of sequence, because setting yourself up off the finish is important for the catch. So starting at the finish, the first movement is that you'd be sitting tall and you'd have your hands at, if we talk about sculling to start with, and you'd have your hands at sternum height at the finish point. And the first part is to tap out, and so you take the blade out of the water, but just a downward movement of the hands. Then you'd leave your body where it is and you'd put your arms straight. So a different technique later on, but we'll talk about that. So in initially teaching sequence, you'd tap out, body straight, so we'd have separation, so the hands are as far away from the body as they can be. Then it's let the knees go a little bit soft and rock over with your body so that you get your body into the catch position. Then you come down the slide, holding your body in that same position, come into the catch, put the blade in the water at that point, and then just reverse that movement. So you just push with the legs and go back up the slide. And once you get past, so the blade's in the water and you're pushing with the legs, and then when you get to the point where your legs are almost flat, then you'd open up your body. And then you'd, when your body's opened up, then you'd finish with the arms, and then you start the sequence again. So that's the basic sequence that we teach. It's the basic sequence that most beginner athletes would learn. And unfortunately or fortunately, it's frequently changes as people get more and more experienced and have different expectations put on them. If we look at sweep position, it's essentially exactly the same sequence in sweep. It's just that there's only one oar, of course. So that's how I see the sequence, Lachlan. But as you mentioned before, it's not the same right the way through people's rowing careers. So how do you see what the differences are?
So, yeah, essentially for beginners, the sequence is on the recovery, arms, body, legs in that order. And then, as you were saying, in the reverse on the drive, so legs and body, then arms. And the reason why the sequence is so important is rowing's a sport where you interact with a mechanical object, I guess. It's not like running where you just have your shoes and the contact to the ground and you're just running along. With rowing, you have lots of different angles, lots of different mechanical levers. The blades get placed in the water and you sort of try and hook onto that, but then you have to transfer your weight through the handle and get the boat moving. So the reason why we do in the drive phase, I'll focus on to start with the legs, then the body, then the arms, is because the legs are very big, strong muscles, and the body as well, pretty strong and relatively large muscles, and they can generate a lot of power contracting really slowly. And that's essentially what you're doing when you're at the catch. So when you're right at the catch, you place a blade, you want to be able to use your muscles to the best of their advantage throughout the stroke. And when you're at the catch, it's your legs and your body that you can get the most benefit out of, because they can contract really slowly, and because of the leverage of the oar at that catch angle, you can drive the boat and pick up the load pretty quickly and get the most of that slow contracting muscle. And then towards the finish, you can use your arms to their best advantage. They're a lot smaller. They can contract a lot more quickly and generate power with that quicker movement into the finish. So essentially, you want to use your legs, your body, and the arms. The real problem with teaching beginners is they'll often use, say, the arms more than the legs at the catch, or the body instead of the legs. And that's why we're trying to teach the sequence, because it's a lot easier to break it down and say, well, just push with the legs at this point, just open with the body at this point, and the arms. And then once you get that, you can sort of move on to the next step. So you've taught people across all different age groups, all different levels and abilities can. What are some general rules that you'd apply with talking about sequencing?
Oh, the fundamental rule has to be control. And so the concept of having a sequence defined, as I went through a moment ago, is that it's really important to make sure that all the movements are controlled. They're not uncontrolled movements. So you don't want someone hurtling down the slide really quickly and without any attention to what order they should do things in. So it's important, really important to have the control. With the sequencing, the critical thing with that is that it's really easy. If an athlete understands the correct sequence, it's really easy to then modify that later on in order to get different power application to change the technique. It's really difficult, though, to change the athletes when they get the sequencing wrong. For example, if you have an athlete that is taught to break their arms at the catch, i.e. take the catch with their arms, with bending their arms, or indeed they're not taught that, they just do it because it feels good to them. And once they've learnt that habit, it's almost impossible to get rid of it. Now, that sounds like a big word, impossible, but I've seen athletes that have tried to get rid of that. Athletes at Olympic level tried to get rid of arm grab that they learnt when they were in under 13, under 14. And so once you've got that bad habit, if you like, if I call it that, then it's very difficult to change. If you lift your shoulders at the catch, very difficult to change again. If you don't feather correctly, very difficult to change. So it's really important to teach the sequence correctly right from the start and get that as the base level of learning. And then later on, if you want to change things and make it so that people apply a bit more body power earlier or they use their arms a little bit earlier, then it's quite easy to do that. But if you get the wrong technique to start with and the wrong sequencing, then you find it's really difficult to change. Lachlan, you would have seen plenty of athletes over the years that had habits that they learnt in under 13 and under 14 rowing, junior rowing, that they then struggled to get rid of later on. You would have heard coaches talking to them in the boat, I imagine, dealing with those sorts of things. So which particular aspects do you think are really critical to get right when you start to learn to row?
So for me, and I think for a lot of rowers and coaches, the whole reason we talk about sequencing is so we can get the most out of our legs, our leg drive. It's probably about 40-45% of our total power comes from our legs, and it's really easy to open with the body at the catch or grab with the arms and just forget about the legs completely. So all of this sequencing, it usually comes back to the fact that an athlete isn't putting the power on properly at the catch with their legs. So some athletes will lift their shoulders at the catch straight after they place the blade, and usually this is because they haven't got the legs on quickly, and it's very hard to open the body with the legs properly on. And also another problem, sort of the other side of that getting the legs on, they might get the legs on really quickly at the catch, but they don't hold their body strong enough, and so they shoot their butt out, and there's no connection between the leg drive and the power on the handle. And so it's really about trying to make sure that you can get the leg drive connected to the handle and driving the boat right at that catch angle. And I'd probably say that when we're talking about sequence, legs, body, arms, it's easier to do that in the drive phase. If you get the recovery phase right, so with your arms, your body, then your legs, it's a lot easier to get the drive phase right with the legs, body, and arms. But it's not as crucial to have the recovery happen all in that perfect sequential order. It's a lot more important to have the legs, body, and arms in the drive phase to be much more sequential, because that's when you've got the power on. That's when the mechanics of the boat need to be optimized to drive the boat. When you're on the recovery, it's more about balance and just sort of letting the boat run. So the sequence isn't quite as important on the recovery as it is on the drive. What do you think, Ken?
Oh, absolutely. The recovery, there are things that you can do in the recovery, but they're really more an advanced level to change the recovery. But if you've got the drive phase right, as Lachlan says, you've got the legs and the body and then the arms, then once that's under control, then you've got the basics there. As I recall Drew Ginn saying once, you've got to bookend the stroke correctly. So you put the blade in before you push, and then you push, and then you use your body, and then you use your arms, and then you keep the blade in the water until you're done with the arms, and then you take it out. Now, if you get that sequence right and you get the power application right and the blade goes in at the catch before you push and it comes out at the finish after you've finished pushing and pulling, then you've done a pretty good stroke. And you can do other things on the recovery that you can damage boat run, of course, and you can do things that slow the boat down on the recovery. But in essence, if you haven't got the drive phase right, then the boat's not going to move much. So it's really important to get that embedded in. And I'd suggest make sure that the athletes understand why you're teaching the sequence. Because what happens frequently, you'd see athletes that are watching international rowers, they're watching people rowing at World Cups and World Championships, and they look at those rowers and they try to emulate them and copy what they're doing. The danger with this is that if you haven't got the basics right, then you'll find that you won't be able to emulate those rowers anywhere near as well. So it's important to understand that learning to row is not about racing like a world-class athlete. It's about learning the sequence, getting that technique really well under control. And then once you've got that under control, then you can start to tinker with it. But it takes quite a lot of miles on the water to get that under control so that you've got the basics there. I think the critical danger is, particularly in this day when there's so much information available on the internet, is to try and copy someone who's racing at an elite level, because there's lots of different techniques. Lachlan, you've analysed a bit of the differences between countries in their rowing at the elite level, and how do you think that relates back to learning to row?
So one of the classics that I noticed when analysing a heap of elite footage last year was the opening of the body straight after the placement of the blade. So the athletes come into the catch, they place the blade, and they commence the leg drive and open the body simultaneously. And I think this is a great technique, but I can also demonstrate that technique. It'll look the same. It'll look like the legs are going down and I'm opening the body, but in reality, I'm not strong enough to fully engage my legs the way I should be and open my body simultaneously like these elite rowers are. So any junior rower could look at this and say, well, oh, they're opening up at the catch. My coach says, you know, I need to push the legs first. I need to open the body later. But look at these rowers. They're pushing the legs and opening the body at the same time. And when that junior athlete tries to copy that technique, 9 times out of 10, and maybe even more than that, they'll be not applying enough power with the legs and they'll be opening the body. So essentially they'll be wasting a good portion of potential leg drive by opening the body early, because if in reality, most people, when they engage their legs properly, really struggle to open the body. It's more of a bracing movement that they do with the body at the catch if they get it right. And it's only the really strong, really elite rowers that can make that body open and leg engagement work really well to sort of combine in their stroke and make their boats go faster. So that's probably one of the big areas that if you just looked at the elites, what they're doing, you'd think, I'll just try that myself, and you just miss the whole point of the what they're doing, and you really don't have enough information to make that work in your boat, and probably need a lot more strength and conditioning to pull that off.
No, most definitely. And the same thing applies with people who use their arms early in the stroke. There's so many aspects that if you're not really super strong and super skilled, then you can't copy what they're doing. So I'd actively discourage beginner athletes in particular, but even junior athletes that have been rowing for some time, to blindly copy what someone's trying to do at an elite level, because it's so different. The other thing that tends to happen when you try and copy someone at an elite level with that opening early, or indeed with pulling the boat towards you as you're coming into the catch, those sorts of techniques, which are quite valid. The issue really is that if the blade's not in the water at precisely the right time, then you'll find that you're going to kill the boat run. And so frequently I've seen athletes trying to copy that by getting their shoulders on a little bit earlier, opening their body up a little bit earlier, but the blade's not even in the water. And so as soon as people try to do that, then they're going to check the boat and they're going to slow it down. You'll find you get a much faster crew at the beginner levels, and my beginner to intermediate levels, really. So for the first probably 4 years of rowing, you'll find that you get much better bang for buck by just focusing on getting the catch in, getting the placement, picking up the load, getting connected, and then getting the power on in the right sequence of legs, body, arms. As you get better at it, then you can merge the body, arms, and legs together. And as you have a higher rating, things change. We'll talk about that in a minute. So I think it's really critical to make sure that the athletes understand why they're learning this sequential technique when it's a little bit different from what the elite athletes are doing. And so I'd suggest have a conversation with them right up front and say, we're learning to row. We're not at that level yet, and so please don't try and copy it because it's not the right answer. And if they have questions, get them to talk it through with the coach to make sure they get the right outcomes on that. And having the crew do it all one way, I think, is super important. So Lachlan, you would have been in crews where people have different bits of technique in the boat, and my experience has been the best way to fix that is to just focus on the sequence and get everyone together. How do you see that from a school and club level?
Yeah, so every rower has their own little bits and pieces of technique and own rhythm in the boat. It's very rare that you'll find a group of people or put them together in a crew and they'll all have the same characteristics. So it's a lot about trying to work out what works best for the crew and trying to just hone in on what you do as a crew. Like maybe you're really good at catches, maybe you're really good at finishes, maybe the first part of the drive phase is really powerful. You know, whatever it is, there's always something that can make a crew click together. And depending on what the traits are of that crew to start with, it's useful to break it down and try a few different things if it's just not clicking together. And going back to sequencing is very helpful for that, because you don't want one person in the crew pushing with the legs and then opening with the body. You don't want simultaneous. You don't want the arms coming on too early. It's very hard to make a crew boat work well if the crew members have got their sequencing off. So, and it's very easy to see for a coach if you're looking at a boat what bits of the sequence aren't working together, and trying to really hone in on making a homogeneous crew doing all the movements together. It will be a lot faster than generally trying to adapt the whole crew to one person. Finding a middle ground is usually the best way to go, but sometimes you'll have very resistant athletes and you might have to build the whole crew around them just to get the boat going.
And so, excellent plan. If a crew that's rowing together will go faster than one that's not, almost invariably, even if the technique's a little bit off. The next thing that arises in my perspective is that once you've got crews that are doing the sequencing quite well, they've got it together, then what's the first things that you want to try and fiddle with if you're going to try and change something out of that standard sequence I had before? And my very clear favourite, and quite easy to do, and I think in fact necessary for fast rating, is to leave alone the catch part, leave alone the leg drive, then the bodies, and then the arms. I'd keep the drive phase exactly as it is at first, and I wouldn't try and tinker with that. The easiest thing to tinker with is the separation of the handle from the body at the finish. Now, when I talked before through the sequence, what we'd advocate with beginners is they'd sit at the finish with their body position leaning back slightly into the bow, and then they'd draw the arms in towards them and they tap out. And then this is the next critical bit, is then we ask them to put their hands as far away from their body as they can before their body starts to move out of the bow. So before they sit up tall and start to rock over into the catch position, you want their arms fully extended. Now, the reason we teach that in a sequence perspective is because it clearly defines what the movements should be at low rate. Now, when you rate at a high rate, like in a racing situation, then you'll find that it's really hard to have enough time at the finish to be able to do that. So at that point, you can start to allow the athletes to, or start to allow yourself if you're the athlete in question, to, as the hands go away from the body can start to move at that point. Now, if you're going to try and rate in the mid-30s, then you'll find that you almost have to do that in order to be able to achieve that rating. And it's something that doesn't do a lot of damage to the boat. It actually helps the boat go a little bit faster, and it's quite easy to do. So the first thing I'd try to change if you're wanting to move on to a more elite level technique would be to reduce the separation. I'm not saying the body comes up before the hands go away from the finish, because that's a really high end elite technique and indeed not done by very many people in the world. So I'd suggest the first thing, if you're trying to make the boat a little bit faster without compromising anything, is keep the sequence the same all the way through the drive. And the first thing to change would be, as the hands go away from the body, let the body start to go with them so that you speed up the finish a little bit. So once that's underway, where would you focus next, Lachlan, if you're going to try and modify people's technique to more an advanced level?
Yeah, so I think with the whole sequencing of the rowing stroke, it's more important that rowers can get all the parts of the sequence right, and that will give you a faster boat for first few years of your rowing career. So just being able to make sure you get the blade in at the catch while you're at pretty much full reach, make sure you wait till it gets connected, and then drive the boat, and that will probably give you most of the gains. And so once you've got the sequence sorted and you're looking for more, it all starts, the rowing stroke starts to blend together, and especially on the recovery, the hands going away, the body coming over, and the legs, it all starts to blend together. And a lot of crews that do it at a very high rating that are very successful, they'll be doing all three at once. And as Ken said, they'll even be, before the blade's out of the water, the body will start to come towards the oar as they tap out, and they already started the rock over before they finish the stroke. And it's very advanced, and it's good for pinching a little bit of time on the recovery that then you can have a higher rating easier. And so you're starting to blend the whole stroke together. The only part that you don't really blend together with the sequencing at a more advanced level is during the drive phase. You can blend the legs and the body open if they're both on. So you've got proficient, you can place the blade, you can start your leg drive and your body open at the same time. What doesn't go on is the arms. The arms don't go on at the catch, and that's just, yeah. So there's just no reason to do it. No advanced crews do it. It's not beneficial in any way to have your arms on at the catch, but that sort of comes towards the end of the drive phase. You can bring your arms on as your leg drive starts to peter out, as your body open is like fully underway, they get the arms on, and that can be useful. So yeah, I generally say go for the sequence first, because if you can't get the sequence right, the place, then the push, the drive phase, the blade buried under the water, all of that, if you haven't got that right, don't think about, you know, blending in the recovery, trying to make everything happen at once, because usually what happens is you make all those changes at the same time, the arms, the body, body rock, the legs, and you don't get the timing quite right. So when you get to the catch, you might have a bit more body to go, you might have a bit more legs, the arms aren't quite right, you struggle to balance the boat in that situation. So I reckon definitely go for sequence first, but then when you get a bit more elite, just start blending the recovery together. So you're into the catch position when you're right at the catch with your body, you sort of blend that whole stroke together, and that's something that a lot of elite rowers do. But yeah, and the leg drive, body open, they can happen sequentially, they can happen together. I wouldn't say there's necessarily a faster way to do that. There's just some elite athletes do it legs and body, some do legs and body at the same time, but all of them do the arms, you know, towards the finish of that drive phase.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something else that you can focus on too, when you're teaching athletes to start to put more body power in and start to open up their body earlier in the stroke, as I say before, get the sequence right first, so it's legs then body, and then when they're starting to move the opening up earlier, I'd suggest don't ask them to open up at the catch. I'd suggest ask them to open up when their legs, when their thighs and their shins are at a right angle. Now, if you step them through it really slowly, and so put the blade in the water when the boat's pretty much stationary, and then have them push just a little bit with their body in the catch position, not moving their body at all, push a little bit until their legs and their shins and thighs are at right angle, and then say from that point on, they can start to open their body up. So critical, get the sequence right first without this. And then once they're trying to open their body up a little bit earlier, if they want to do that, once they get more experience, then make sure that you're not asking them to open up off the catch. You're asking them to open up once they've got that little bit of leg drive underway. And you'll find that usually by that point, they're connected to the water anyway. And so you'll find you get a pretty good transition to rowing with a bit more body earlier. But if you ask them to open up with the, and when they start the leg drive right at the catch, then you'll find you have a tendency with beginner athletes in particular to just have a shoulder lift, and therefore the sequence disappears. So I think it's important to be very careful about how you transition into that newer technique, that more advanced technique, and do it gradually. Don't try and do it in one session. So Lachlan, from your perspective, how would you go about encouraging people to row with that different technique?
Generally, I'd probably start with something along the lines of, let's try and smooth it out. So you start with the sequence and it'll look very robotic. And then you're like, okay, let's try and smooth it out a little bit. Still try and do the same sequence of movements, just smooth it out. And essentially, when you're changing the sequence and blending it all together, it's just an extreme form of smoothing it all out. And it can be quite fast, but you'll find a point where if your skills aren't up to smoothing it out, a lot of things will go wrong. So you might be grabbing with the shoulders, you might be missing the catch, you might mistime the catch. There's just a lot that can go wrong with smoothing the rowing stroke out and blending it together. And that's why we think it's, you know, we say it's, you know, kind of dangerous to copy what elite people do, because they've figured it out. They've got the smooth rowing stroke. They've got the timings pretty much perfect, or as close to perfect as it can be really, you know, humanly possible. And the really good rowers, you know, they're amazing at it. And they're the ones that win the races. And then you try and do a similar thing with your crew, and it's really easy for the wheels to fall off. So always go back to the sequence. There's some elite coaches that really just focus on the sequence, and they think that if you diverge from that too much, you're really opening yourself up to failing, and they really teach their elite athletes the sequence. So it's not to say that the sequence can't be extremely fast. There's just, it's kind of a dark art, you know, blending all the rowing stroke together, and you can have some really good outcomes and you can have some real problems on your hands. So it's, yeah, I always recommend coaching the sequence first, getting the basics right first, and then think about maybe what you're going to be doing. And if you're a rower that sort of tends to open up earlier, maybe you're better suited to a technique that incorporates that with the leg drive just after the catch. But if you lean into that too far, there's a good chance you'll be slowing the boat down, because you'll be creating a whole heap of other problems for yourself. So yeah. Any final words, Ken?
Oh, I think a good technique that every athlete should do is when they do their warm-up, there's a reason why people do a warm-up, and they practice the sequence. And so whether you start from the catch or you start from the finish when you're in the warm-up phase, what the purpose of that is to get your mind switched on and to make sure that you understand what the sequence is meant to be. If you do that at the beginning of every session, then you're going to have a better chance of a good outcome going forward. So sequence, a really important part of the rowing stroke, and as we've said in here before, is it's too hard to just try and copy an elite athlete without understanding the basics first. So get the sequence right every time.
So if you want to have a look at some videos on this, we've got a heap on our website. Members can head over. We've got everything from beginner through to these more advanced techniques. And yeah, we try and do the best job we can of explaining which technique works best in what scenario. But there's also, we've also got a rowing course that's free. If you want to have a look at a good free rowing course, you can head to decentrowing.com, just enter your email, and you can have that free course. So until next time, happy rowing.